And our next presenter is Carol Kelly.
Good morning. This morning I get the opportunity to tell you a little bit about a new project that we started last year. I guess I'm going to begin with a little bit of the reasoning and motivation behind the project itself. And I guess the best explanation is if I were to imagine having a conversation with a cotton buyer, trying to find out what they needed and wanted and what I should be trying to breed for. A buyer would tell me I have to have it all. They don't just want a cotton that's strong, they want it to be really strong. And not just long, but really long. And they don't just want it to be long and strong, but when they put it in their mill, they want it to produce very little waste. They want it to be trouble-free. They're going to want the product to die evenly. They don't want a bunch of ends down. They want to be able to run it at half speed. And whatever they produce, they want it to be a quality product. And then they're going to remind me that, by the way, they have options. It's a global market, so your cotton better be good. As a breeder, I hear that I need a complete fiber package. Not just strength, but I'm going to need to consider elongation. And I can't just look at length. I need to consider the length uniformity. And not just length and strength, but I need to work towards reducing short fiber content. And in terms of spinning performance, I need a fiber that withstands mechanical handling. It's going to give them good yarn properties, which all these things involve multiple fiber properties. And all in all, this cotton needs to be profitable not only for the mills, but for the producers. And if I had to come up with two words from this conversation, it's going to be fiber maturity and length distribution or length uniformity. Why do I think of these two words? It's because I've known and I've seen these things. That micronair, fiber maturity, however you want to look at it, is related to and shown to have a good relationship with things like short fiber content. And that with better maturity, we reduce short fiber content. And in terms of fiber maturity, we know that a low maturity fiber has a tendency to break more. And if those fibers are breaking more when they're producing things in the mill, they're going to get short fibers, even in the gin, in the harvesting process. So if we can work to improve fiber maturity, we should be able to decrease short fiber content and might even see an increase in fiber properties such as strength. And just a reminder, when I think of a complete fiber package, visually what comes to mind to me is the length distribution, because it's a nice a picture, a visual expression of the fiber quality package. It shows you the short fiber content, shows you where your weak and immature fibers are, how many of those you have, and the width of that peak gives you some idea about the length uniformity itself. You can see upper half mean length, the long fibers. It's just a good overall visual picture of that fiber package. So with all that knowledge and information from some past studies, we decided to apply that in a new project with the objective to evaluate ways of improving fiber maturity through conventional breeding with a focus on the related fiber properties, specifically length uniformity. The secondary objective, we hope to create a data set that will just provide us additional information about fiber maturity, about length uniformity, and the relationship and how can we use these things to help us work towards a more acceptable fiber maturity, specifically in our growing area where environment is a huge challenge. We're still in the early stages, so this outline's pretty simplified. But the plan is to create new populations, to evaluate these new populations, of course, go through the selection process, starting with the F2s, to continually monitor our progress. I mean, with each set of selections, are we getting what we want? Are we making progress? Are we getting any better? So we hope through various evaluations and comparisons, both with the next generation back to the parents, and of course, continually comparing against our commercial checks, kind of stop and see how we're going. And with each data, we hope to learn how we might need to change our selection process, our breeding methods for these fiber properties. So we'll continue to repeat the selection process as needed until we get in some advanced lines, and I would hope that eventually we'll see how they perform on the yarn side. And of course, all through this, having the additional measurements to create a data set that we can do other things with or perhaps form other projects. So what have we done so far? In 2011, we created 5 F1 populations. We sent them to the winter nursery for advancement and increase. 2012, we got our F5 population seed back, and we planted a nursery at the Lubbock station. The nursery was planted as a replicated complete block design with 4 replications. In this nursery, we included the 5 F2 populations, the 9 parent lines, and 2 commercial chicks. 2012, planted the nursery, and then this fall when cotton finally opened, a little bit earlier than I wanted it to, we went out and took some bowl samples, a 10 bowl sample. Because it was early season, these were first position bowls only, well, close to whatever was open at that point. Which is important to keep in mind when we consider the fiber data I have available to date. These bowl samples were ginned on a tabletop gin and then submitted for fiber analysis. We ran the high replication HBI, which gave us 4 reps of, took 4 readings of color and mic and 10 readings for length and strength and aphis. Also during the fall, we went out and made individual plant selections based on the agronomic appearance and performance in the field on the plants. For simplicity's sake, to have a nice evenness, we tried to select 8 plants on every row. There were some rows I just couldn't make myself put out 8 tags, but we tried. Because I know you're curious, the parents, these 9 parent lines, 5 of them were from a spinning study, and they were basically selected for their length distribution and just their overall fiber performance and some spinning data. 4 of the lines we pulled out of a genetic diversity test that we had. These lines were selected mostly on their fiber quality, specifically uniformity and turnout. And you'll see later, I'll let you guess which one might have got picked for turnout. 2 of these lines came from Dr. Auld's program at Texas Tech. 1 of the lines came from the College Station program from Dr. Stelly. And 1 of them is Dr. Fred Borland's line from Arkansas. Preliminary data, unfortunately, all I have is just some rough data off the bowl samples, but it was kind of interesting to see what sort of fiber quality we're going to have to pick from once we get down to the individual plants. And at this point, I guess most important is that we kept everything above the commercial check line and that we could see we were still on the better end of having good fiber quality. In terms of upper half mean length, there's nothing short in the set. We would take any of it. You can already begin to see here maybe which parent was for turnout and not fiber quality, which it gets more interesting. Strength, everything was very well. All the F5 populations were well above the commercial varieties. With this one, there's one F5 family that's our F2 family that's already kind of not so shiny, but that's okay. And that would be entry 3. And then most of the parents, you can tell, with the exception of one of them, that was obviously number 12, had a good turnout. We started out with some good fiber quality with the parents to begin with. In terms of micronaire, I'm not going to worry about it too much. They're all acceptable, and they all had good micronaires, and these were first position bowls, so that's not surprising. Elongation, all of the parents and the F2 families had much better elongation than the commercial chicks. At this point, I haven't really had a chance, since it's just the families, to make comparisons between the F2s and the parent lines. But the F2 families do look promising. Now for the fiber property of, I guess, special interest with the length uniformity, and I'd like to point out in the bottom left of the slide, one of our motivations for this project is, as of December 13th of this year, the average for the Lubbock classing office for this year's crop was 79%, and we really, we want better than that. And everything, our checks were higher than that. These are first position bowls. But by the looks of the F2s and the parents, I think we can do better than 79%, even in a bad year. We do see that the F2 families, they had much lower short fiber content than the commercial checks, with the exception of good old family 3, and it's parent number 12. They didn't do so well, but I bet they probably have the best turnouts, and I haven't looked at that yet. Length by number for inches. Everything's long. I'd take any of it. I really hope that some of these individual plants hold true to the family values from the bowl samples. Maturity ratio. I have to admit, this slide puzzled me the other day, and I almost took it out because it didn't make a very pretty picture. But everything here has a good maturity ratio, and it's important, too, to realize that while it has a good relationship with cross-sections, what shows up as a small difference in maturity ratio might actually be a fairly significant difference on an actual cross-section of a fiber. So I'm curious to see how the maturity turns out later down the road. So for statistics, we had entry differences across all fiber properties, and more importantly, we had all but one of the F5 families was significantly different than the checks in terms of fiber length uniformity. Just of interest, I want to show you, if you were to look at the length distributions, these are what the length distributions look like for the two check varieties. They're not too bad, have a little bit higher short fiber content than we like, and that length, mean length, could shift to the right. But I'll show you just of interest, if you take two good length distributions, which is our parent 7 and 11, we've got a very nice F2 family with a good distribution, a nice tight curve, very low short fiber content out of family 2. On the other hand, it only took one bad parent to mess up my nice pretty length distribution. Entry 8 had a nice pretty length distribution, low short fiber content, high uniformity, crossed it with entry 12, and so far that family length distribution kind of got loose and short fiber content went up. I thought it was interesting how different these two crosses, their family average showed. Our next step is to get our ITS data, analyze it for fiber and yield potential, make selections. We'll then begin to do preliminary correlations, compare to the parents, evaluate what we think we can gain once we make those selections, and start planning for the next year. At this point, don't have conclusions yet, it's too early. I do think there's hope. I'm pretty excited about what's there, and I think it's going to have a lot of opportunity to learn for uniformity and improve it. There's many opportunities for improvements as well as lessons I see so far. At this point, I would like to thank the Cotton Foundation for their support and funding, Cotton Crew in Lubbock for, you name it, Jennet, Pickett, everything, and then the FBRI for their testing, for Eric E.K., who is a co-investigator on this project. Thank you.
We have plenty of time if anybody has any questions for Carol.
Why didn't you label your parents?
No, I have the original fiber data, and I may be lying to you, but I knew you were going to ask this. I really think that your particular one had a very pretty set of fiber data in that family.
That's all I want to know.
Oh, you're just placating Fred.
No, because I told them. Dr. Auld, on the other hand, can explain what happened with the other two.